On New Year's Eve, I thought it might be appropriate to think about how we approach our lives. As we approach the coming new year, we're assailed on television and in print on retrospectives, looking back at the last year and sometimes at many past years. So should we spend our time looking back or looking forward? How does God want us to approach our lives and our walk toward His kingdom? In a way, this is the difference in how we are viewing how things work. There's understanding. Understanding tells us how things work together. And then there's wisdom. Wisdom is the capacity to judge rightly and to correctly apply knowledge. What we do and the work of countless men and women that have gone before us, and of course, our greatest reference is this book. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It talks about things that have gone before. It looks backward. This and the other books provide facts and data, information that we need to navigate the world. The Old Testament in particular has a wealth of facts. The laws that the Hebrews were supposed to live by, regulations for offering, for the offerings. We see how the Hebrews interacted with their neighbors. Not always well. But we can learn from these encounters. We also learn about interpersonal relationships. Moses and Pharaoh. Joseph and his family, David and Jonathan, David and Uriah, the various kings of Israel and Judah with the prophets, and how out for a hike and they come upon a set of old abandoned railroad tracks. Of course, they try to walk on the rails, but each of them can only balance for a few steps before they fall off. Finally, two of the boys who have been whispering together bet the others that they can walk the track without falling. The challenge is laid down, and each of the boys mounts an opposite track. In Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see those who are in need? This theme is emphasized many times in the Bible, whether it's physical assistance, food, clothing, and shelter, or by teaching, we need to help one another. We need to have and employ. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan said, Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty. These are examples of knowledge we need to have. helping others improves your own outlook. How many times have we experienced this for ourselves? If you provide something for someone else, help someone to solve a problem, or just listen, all of this helps us to improve our own outlook. Then we have the next step, which is understanding. This is how things work together. There are a number of examples where Jesus is trying to get people to understand. Let's turn to Matthew 19, starting at verse 16. Matthew 19. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man had heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will the rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to, usually through the snow." And the tagline is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." There was a song popular, I used to say several years ago, it's been many years ago now, that some of you will remember with that title. The two boys are arriving at an orphanage looking for help. They have walked a long way, and the younger one has given out, so his brother carries him on his back. He doesn't mind the extra weight because it's his brother. These people are working together to get the help they need. Love does this. It lightens the load that would otherwise be unbearable. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We read from Job this morning. Job spends a lot of his commentary speaking about information. And then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of you can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me." These things taken together lead us to the fourth step of gaining wisdom. That is why we emphasize continuing our Bible study in classes as we grow and mature. There is not an end to this path. It's a continuing journey. Because what we are striving for is that place in the kingdom that we believe is coming. We're trying to look forward. So what does God want us to do? We are in every day. We can also take comfort in what we hear in so many places in the Bible. Lamentations 3, starting at verse 22, says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Forward, we are able to see what is coming next." We heard about it in the readings this morning. Some of my favorite verses. Revelation 21, starting at verse 1, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more, for the former things have passed away." We must try to develop that capacity to properly apply the things we've learned.